That is, amen. When you're having a tough day, when you're having a hard day, things are going not according to your plan, to continually bless the Lord, to have His praise continually in your mouth. You know what? You can't be in the flesh and still praise the Lord, not with a sincere heart anyway. And so what a challenge that is right from the get-go, amen. Oh, for one person it is, but the rest of you, you're perfect at it, so apparently it's not a problem. Verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lighted, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." I have claimed that verse for myself so many times. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him." But verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." You know, there was one time when I was driving beets, a beet truck for a farmer who was planting sugar beets, and at the end of the year, at the harvest time, it was just probably early October, maybe second week of October, right? And there was just Nate and Casey would know this and remember this. Crookston was a hotbed for that, but just a mass harvest time of sugar beets, and there was a window of time. When it could be done. If it was too warm, you know, you couldn't pull them out of the ground. If it was too cold, you couldn't harvest it. It was just the window of time that it had to be done. And so everybody who grew sugar beets, it was just a mass harvest. And they would hire drivers to drive their beet trucks. And you'd harvest them out of the fields. The pilers would, or the lifters would pull them up out of the field, and it would dump them into the trucks. And the trucks and the lifters are driving side by side like this in perfect rows. And once your truck is full, off you go to the American Crystal Sugar Plant, where you have to sit in line and you have to go through the piler and dump the load. And if you screwed it up and messed it up, oh man, it was a nightmare. And the whole works and the whole process was shut down, you know, to get that piler fixed or to undo the mess that you made. And some guys would dump their whole load of sugar beets in the wrong place, and it was just a chaos in there. And one year I decided that I was going to make a little extra money, and I was going to drive sugar beets. And it was a great experience, although I was claiming these verses right here so many times during that, because I had never driven a semi before. And so I had to learn, number one, how to drive a semi with 18 gears and air brakes, and you didn't use the clutch to shift. It was all RPMs, you know, to get into the right gear, and you got low gears and you got high gears, so I had to learn all of that on the fly. Then you had to learn how to drive, you know, right next to a lifter in a field and not get too far away where they're dumping all the sugar beets onto the ground again. You know, and I mean, it's just mass chaos. It's moving. And then once you get that figured out, you got to drive to the beet plant. And then once you get at the beet plant, I mean, there's hundreds or even potentially thousands of trucks all there at the same time. And you got to sit in line and you got to wait your turn. But then when you get there, if you do something wrong and mess the works up, you've got every sugar beet farmer in the county who's mad at you, and the American Crystal Sugar and all that kind of stuff. And it's just high stress for a guy who's never driven a semi before. And one time I was pulling in across Highway 2. You guys would know this, right at Business Highway 2 into East Grand Forks, right at the curve. There, you guys are all oblivious except for those two. They know. And my wife, she knows too. Yeah, you guys know exactly where it is. Anyway, it was a highway that's a lot like the Richardson Highway. It's two lanes on each side with a median in the middle, you know. And there's a big curve there, and I'm pulling across traffic to get onto the frontage road that takes you to the plant. And there's a kind of like a dip right in there in between. And very inexperienced at driving a semi, fully loaded, I mean completely loaded, and came to a complete stop to have to make a left-hand turn, and I go to pull out, and then I got halfway out, and all of a sudden I killed it. right in the middle of the highway with oncoming traffic. And I'm like, oh no, oh no, you know, trying to start this thing, and it's fully loaded, so it's not just pop it in first gear and drive off. I mean, it's kind of touchy, right? And so I'm just like, ka-chunk, 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 you know, trying to get this thing to go. And I finally got through, you know, by the skin of my teeth, and then I'm sitting in line just, and I had a lot of time to sit there because there's a bunch of trucks in the way. And I opened up my Bible, and I started reading. I was in Psalm 34, and I came to these verses. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. And then verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm telling you, I was claiming those verses in that moment right then for the troubles that I had. And the Lord spared me. I didn't dump my loads in the wrong places, and I didn't really mess anything up and didn't cause any accidents. But the point was, the Word of God became very, very real in those moments. And the Word of God should always be very, very real to us. But there were some things that I learned even through all of that that are even going to be mentioned tonight in this message. And the Lord even taught me some things back then that are really going to formulate what we're going to talk about here tonight. But let's just keep reading through. Verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." There's a direct connection in these verses here. In verse 9, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Verse 10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" There's a direct connection between the quality of life that we live here right now and fear of the Lord. There is a direct connection between the blessing of God and the usefulness to God and fearing the Lord. There's a direct connection between staying out of sin and living a pure life and the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about this tonight, learning to fear the Lord. It's so key to this Christian life that we live. In verse 11 says, "Come, hearken, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Here it sounds like the voice of experience trying to teach and give some knowledge and some understanding to younger ones of what is the really, really the most important thing in life: learning how to fear God. And he says, "You come, you hearken, you listen. Here's the voice of experience. I'll teach you how to fear the Lord," or what it means to fear God. Which is really the most important principle there is in life. If you want to boil the Christian life down to anything, if you want to boil everything down to its base, to its root. Listen, learning how to fear God is the foundation for the Christian life, for everything else. When you want to talk about how to have a good marriage, when you want to talk about how to avoid sin, when you want to talk about how to have blessing in life, when you want to talk about what is pleasing to the Lord, listen, the fear of the Lord is the root and the base and the foundation of the Christian life. And verse 11 says, you hearken, you listen, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. It's also important to understand that this is an indicator here of that the fear of the Lord is something that is learned. It's not something that just automatically comes to us as sinful human beings. The fear of the Lord is something that we can grow in and learn. And I think that actually speaks volumes, because sometimes, you know, we feel like we're failures. We feel like, you know, we're imperfect and we know it, and our frame is very frail, and we're prone to wander, and we're prone to sin. And the fact that the Lord doesn't expect or require perfection out of us is actually a blessing. That it's His work, and it's something we learn in, and something that we grow in. And it's a blessing to know that the Lord is gracious and patient as well. Look at Psalm 111 with me. Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. The psalmist says here that the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? In spiritual terms, you want to be wise and discerning in this life? He says the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. And we'll talk more about this in a little bit, but if you look over at Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 7, so we note that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, what the psalmist says and what Solomon says is that the fear of the Lord is just the very beginning. It's just the start. You're just beginning when you learn to fear the Lord. But let's talk about this. What is the fear of the Lord actually? What does it mean to fear God? Well, we could probably give all kinds of single word definitions to it, and maybe all of them would be included in what the fear of the Lord is. Some might say that the fear of the Lord is honor. Some might say that it's reverence, that it's awe, that it's respect for God. And maybe all of those things would be right and would be included in that definition of what does it mean to fear God. It means to have a healthy respect and a healthy awe and a reverence for God and His holiness and His character and who He is. How to define it more in words, it's hard to say. But this is what the psalmist and Solomon says is the very beginning of wisdom or understanding, to have the right view of who God is, to be in awe of His holiness, to honor, to respect, to reverence God, and to teach the fear of the Lord is essentially to teach how to know the Lord and to live in a way that is pleasing to Him, but to live in the enjoyment of God's favor, to walk with God. The Bible tells us how we can achieve or grow and learn to fear God. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. How do I get or learn the fear of the Lord? Or what it means to fear the Lord. Well, the Bible tells us how we can achieve this or to learn to fear God. In Proverbs 2 verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now let's tie this together with two passages that we read before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Right? And Solomon says, my son, if you'll incline or you'll receive my words and you'll hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if you seek after her as for silver, then you're going to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Where is it that we get understanding? Where is it that we get this knowledge? Well, verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Now, let's make the application here. Solomon says, hey, son, if you'll receive my words, and you'll hide my commandments with thee, and if you'll incline your ear to hear, then you're going to understand the fear of the Lord. We can make the application, my friends, that if we'll hide His commandments with us, if we'll seek after wisdom and knowledge as for hid treasures and we'll crave it, listen, the hid treasures of the Word of God, then we're going to understand the fear of the Lord. The connection here, friends, is the Word of God. And it's the Lord who gives us wisdom. It's the Word of God that gives us instruction. It's the Word of God and craving the instruction of the Word of God that's going to cause us to understand the fear of the Lord. You see the connection here with God's Word? To crave and love instruction from the Word of God, to incline our ear to receive the wisdom and the instruction, listen, even from the man of God, and apply the heart to what we already do know, then we'll begin to understand what the fear of the Lord is. What's the reason that people fall into sin? What's the reason that people find themselves in a place that they thought they would never be? What is the reason that people progress and progress and progress until they get over to this point and they look back and say, how did I get here? Well, we got a sinful heart that's going to keep leading us down that path, right? That's because of our sinful heart. And not a commitment to seeking after and applying our heart to the truth of God's Word. Listen, that is what will keep us from going down that path. To crave and to love instruction from God's Word is what will keep us from going down that path. Applying our heart to what we know. There's the key word, isn't it? A bunch of head knowledge does us no good if we don't apply it in our daily life. Amen? I've said this before many times. Christianity so often, and Bible truth so often, is just this concept that is out here somewhere. And we fill up our head with knowledge, and we know the Scriptures, and we know truth, but it's always just this concept that is out there. And our personal life is separate. And what happens? We live life according to what we feel. We live life according to the flesh. And those truths of God's Word that will actually bring blessing and bring growth into our life and that will actually keep us from sin, we don't apply. What do we need? We need to crave and love instruction from God's Word. And Solomon says, my son, if you'll receive my words, if you'll hide my commandments with thee, this is the application, so that you incline your heart unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge, then you're going to understand the fear of the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who gives wisdom. I'm also grateful, though, that the Lord is patient and gracious, because we're not always consistent. We know these principles and we know these truths, but we're not always consistent with them. That is why we learn the fear of the Lord as we grow. So often we stunt that work in our own life, though. Sometimes people get crosswise. Maybe it's with a member of the church. Maybe it's with the preacher. Maybe it's with something else. Sometimes people get crosswise and they stop inclining their ear and they stop loving instruction and wisdom, and it begins to steer them down a different course and a wrong path. And it's so tragic, isn't it? After some time goes by and you start to see the fruit and the harvest and of those seeds that they planted starting to roll in, and you look back and you say, why? It didn't have to be that way. If you would have just listened, if you would have just listened to the instruction and to the wisdom, if you would have just inclined your ear to the truth of God's word, listen, you wouldn't be here right now. We stunt that work in our own life. We cause ourselves to stop any kind of spiritual growth. You know, we understand what the principle is of what of how something grows. It's very basic. You know, when you're talking about a muscle, for example, in order for that muscle to grow, it's got to be exercised. It's got to be strained. It's got to be worked. It's a very basic thing, but sometimes the most basic things are the hardest things to do. You apply it on the spiritual level. In order for our spiritual life to grow, it's got to be worked, it's got to be stressed, it's got to be exercised in order to grow. But sometimes we get lazy spiritually. And we know that maybe some things in our lives need to change, but the desire to change is not greater than the comfort of our present fleshly condition, because we haven't felt the sting yet of what's coming. And so we don't see our spiritual state for what it is. And we continue on down that path until all of a sudden this crop starts coming in and we start to realize the damage that we've caused and we start to feel the sting of our sin. And we realize that we're in a place that we thought we'd never be, but it's because we stopped inclining our ear and applying our heart to truth. Until we get, you know, when someone's in that kind of a condition, until they get disgusted with what they see in the mirror spiritually, that it finally motivates them to go and do something about it, they're never going to change. We need to come to the place, folks, for our desire to be like Christ and to love the Lord with all of our heart far outweighs any kind of carnal appetite or response that we might have. You understand what I'm saying here? We got to get to the place where our love for the Lord far outweighs any kind of fleshly desire or carnal appetite that we have. And we will do away with our flesh and we'll do away with our desires, because there is a desire in my soul and a drive in my soul to love God with all of my heart. We've sort of been talking about this the last couple of weeks. When you get on autopilot, and you start to just coast in the Christian life, it doesn't coast us uphill. It doesn't coast us toward growth. It doesn't even maintain. It always goes down. And when we get on autopilot, we just start to go with the flow, the blinders get put on to what our real spiritual condition is, and we can think that everything's okay. We can think, oh, things are going great in the church. Oh, things are going great in my life. And we don't see that we're actually miserable and poor and blind and naked. The blinders are on. We don't see the condition for what it is. When we stop to incline our ear to instruction and to love and crave instruction from God's word. And the reason is we don't fear the Lord. It's not okay with God. We need some reviving in our souls. We need some reviving in our spirits. And a drive in our soul to pursue after God. And listen, come to the place where we desire to be like Christ more than anything else. And I'm going to drive and pursue after the Lord, to seek after the Lord as for hid treasure. Then we're going to understand the fear of the Lord. Am I making any sense tonight? Let's talk about for a few minutes here, what will learning to fear the Lord actually produce in my life? We go back to our text in Psalm 34. That introductory stuff was really the longest part of the message. But we look at our text here, and we find some things that learning to fear the Lord will actually produce in our life that is a good thing and a positive thing. Psalm 34 in verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." You know what the fear of the Lord will produce in my life? It produces divine protection. Think about this. Here, the verse says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The fear of the Lord produces divine protection in my life. Who doesn't need divine protection? Right? We only make a mess of things, don't we? When we're taking the reins, when we're in control. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Divine protection from what? Someone might say. Well, Proverbs chapter 2 in verse 5 says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." We could rightly say that learning to fear the Lord brings divine protection in my life from myself and from sin. Learning to fear the Lord brings divine protection from sin, from myself and my flesh. The Bible says here that he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. You know, there's a reason why our wrong behavior and our sin is always kept secret, or it's done in private. There's a reason for that. Because we know it's wrong. And we know there's shame and there's embarrassment that comes along with it. But you know what? The fear of the Lord brings divine protection from sin into my life. There are reasons, you know, why people do things that they do. Maybe people avoid doing wrong because they have a fear of being caught. You know, so I'm not going to do wrong because I'm afraid of the consequences of being caught. Maybe there's a fear of being found out and embarrassment, or maybe there's a fear of consequences. Well, if I go do this and I get caught, then there's going to be consequences for that. And maybe those things are okay. You know what? If that's a motivator to keep you doing right, then okay. Maybe sometimes people avoid doing wrong because they don't want the preacher to find out. Or someone else. And those are fine, I suppose. But there is something that is far, far greater than that kind of a fear. And it's a fear of the Lord. Understand this. Having the right perspective on God and having a fear of God. Listen, having a fear of the Lord, it releases us from all lesser fears. You understand what I mean by this? If I fear the Lord, it becomes the motivation for why I do right, on why I don't do wrong, because God is watching and I fear the Lord. I want to please the Lord. Not because I'm in dread and fear of Him. No, because I love Him and I want to please Him and I have honor and respect for Him and I fear the Lord, and therefore I'm not going to do this. Therefore I'm going to do this. See, that releases me from all any lesser fears. I don't have to fear whether or not the preacher's going to find out. Right? Find out myself. I don't have to fear the consequences. You understand what I mean? I don't have to fear the consequences. Why? Because the motivation for why I do what I do and don't do what I shouldn't do is that I fear God. You do right because you fear the Lord. Then you don't have to worry about the consequences. And listen, fearing the Lord should become the very motive for why we don't do certain things or why we do the things that we do. And this will help protect us from sin in our life. We're talking about divine protection from sin. You following this here? It's going to protect us from sin, having a fear of God. It'll help protect us from sin as we learn to fear the Lord, because, listen, the fear of the Lord will be more and more of our motivation to continue to do right. Are we always consistent with that? No. And so I'm so glad that the Lord is patient with me as I learn to fear Him. It brings divine protection into our life from sin, but also, according to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8, it brings divine protection from wrong paths that are traveled so often in life. Verse 8 says, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." You know what the fear of the Lord does? It protects us from going down the wrong path in life. It preserveth the way of His saints. You know what it only takes? One misstep to start down the wrong path that will completely take us out of God's will and protection in life. For example, you get involved in the wrong relationship and it's going to start you down a path that potentially will take you right out of the will of God. If you are involved in a relationship that causes hurt or grief in your life, there's potential for resentment and for bitterness. Brother Humphrey talked about it Sunday morning in Sunday school. Bitterness starts you down a path. Resentment, which leads to bitterness, starts you down a path that will completely take you out of the will of God. If we're not careful about the relationships that we have in our life, that relationships that are influential in our life, listen, they can potentially take us right out of the will of God. And it doesn't automatically start with you're automatically out of the will of God. No, it's step by step, little by little, a change of thinking, a change of heart that causes us to drift further and further and further away. But you know what the fear of the Lord does? Because I love God with all my heart, I'm going to have the discernment to stay away from relationships that could potentially take me out of God's will. Because I have fear of the Lord, I'm going to have the discernment. It's going to tell me, you know what, don't take this job, because this job is going to cause me to miss church, and then I'm going to miss church, then carnality is going to set into my life. And when carnality sets into my life, the things of God are not that important. And you know what? Pretty soon, taking me down a wrong path. You with me tonight? Fear of the Lord and loving God with all of our heart protects us from wrong paths traveled in life. Verse 8 said, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints." Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Go back to Psalm 34, We're talking about what does the fear of the Lord produce in my life? Well, it's divine protection, number one, from sin and from wrong paths that traveled in life, but it also produces divine provision. Fear of the Lord produces divine provision. Verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You know what the fear of the Lord produces? Provision. Divine provision. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Divine provision is actually where we find joy and blessing and living in the favor of God and being in His presence. Look at with me at the promises of God to those that fear Him. In Psalm 34, in verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Verse 8 says that we find, will find and see the goodness of God. He says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, experience it for yourself. When we learn to fear the Lord, we're able to experience and see the goodness of God at work in our life. You know what? We see it in the good times, certainly, but it's even more special when we begin to see the goodness of God in the bad times. We see the goodness of God at work in the midst of trial. How difficult is it, even in the midst of trial, to be able to have spiritual eyes to see that God is still good in all of the trial, in all of the hardship, that God has something good in store. Well, when you learn to fear the Lord, we begin to experience and see the goodness of God. Look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 19. Psalm 31, 19 says, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Verse 19, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. We find the goodness of God as we learn to fear the Lord. We find the mercy of God as we learn to fear the Lord. Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. Verse 49 says, For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I'm so glad his mercy endures forever and that he's patient, aren't you? As we learn to fear the Lord, we experience the mercy of God in our life. Go back to Psalm 34. Look at verses 9 and 10 again. We'll finish up here. Psalm 34, verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You know what we find when we learn to fear the Lord? We find completeness. Completeness in the Lord. There is no want to them that fear him. He will not lack any good thing. As we grow in the Lord and grow in our proper fear of the Lord, listen, we grow in spiritual maturity so that we're not lacking in anything. We're not going to be spiritually deficient, in other words, as the Lord grows us. And the root of it, the base of it, is learning to fear God. It's probably pretty easy to look at someone and start picking them apart You know, you're spiritually deficient here and you're spiritually deficient there. That's not really our job. But what we can learn is that the fear of the Lord and learning how to fear the Lord, it brings us to a place of spiritual maturity so that we are not lacking or spiritually deficient in anything. That's part of God's plan for us, that we would grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A mature man, amen? And it starts with fearing the Lord. Learning to fear the Lord, listen, it becomes the foundation and the basis for real growth in the Christian life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's where joyful Christian living is found. Fearing the Lord, learning how to fear God and love God, keeps us from stagnating. It keeps us from being on autopilot in the Christian life. And autopilot puts the blinders on and keeps us from seeing our lives for what they really are. What happens then? We become accepting and we become complacent with the wrong attitudes. We become complacent when it comes to wrong behavior, which only leads to more carnality. You've probably experienced that before, haven't you? Wrong behavior, wrong attitudes. You know it's wrong, but we become accepting and complacent of it instead of dealing with it. What does it lead to? More carnality. This leads us down a wrong path. What we need, and I'm so glad for this, is for the Lord to pull us up short sometimes. Or to pull the rug out from underneath us. And to pull the rug out of pride out from under us. And sometimes even causing us to fall flat on our face in order to wake us up spiritually. Have you ever been there? Praise the Lord for it. Amen. He's not going to let you just go. But he's going to pull the rug out from under you, cause you to fall flat on your face and feel the sting and the embarrassment to get you to wake up. So they can get you on the right path. And remind us of the need fear the Lord. We need to pursue after God continually. Learn to love God with all of our heart. Learn to fear God, love instruction, crave wisdom and understanding and instruction from God's Word. Apply our heart to it. Then we'll begin to understand the fear of the Lord. Then we'll be in just the right place to be blessed of God, to be used of God. You want to keep from falling into sin? Pursue after God. Learn to fear God, to love God, to have an honor and a respect and an awe and a reverence for God. This becomes the motivation for doing right and not doing wrong. Amen. We need some reviving in our life. We need to pursue after God. We need the blinders taken off. Pursue after God. Love God with all of our heart. Let's not be satisfied. Let's not be okay with the status quo. Let's not be okay with the autopilot. Amen? We've got to get to the root of it all, though. And the root of it is to fear the Lord. Come, hearken unto me. Listen, the voice of experience. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Love instruction. Crave instruction from God's Word. Apply it in the heart. And that's the beginning. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need reminders. We need instruction. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Word of God. We need all of that to do a transforming work in our hearts and our minds. This old flesh just constantly is battling for control. And so often we yield to it. And we live by our feelings and we live by the whims of our flesh, and we become complacent or accepting of wrong attitudes and wrong behaviors, and it just leads to more carnality and more until we end up finding ourselves in a place that we thought we'd never be. I'm thankful that you don't let us just continue on our sinful, merry way. Father, you will pull the rug out from under us. You'll knock us down a few notches. You'll cause us to have to feel the sting in order to wake us up, to remind us how much we need instruction and wisdom and understanding from God's Word, which becomes the basis to learning how to fear the Lord, because the Word of God shows us and opens our eyes to the holiness of God and to the character of God, and then reveals God to us, which is what we need in order to have the right reverence and awe and respect and honor and the right view of God, of who you are and your holiness and your hatred for sin and your purity. Father, I pray tonight for your people. Lord, I pray that you'd bring some reviving to our souls, some reviving to our spirits, a love for the Lord, a love for the things of God, a pursuit after the holiness of God, and a pursuit after the Word of God. Father, that we, like Solomon said to his son, to incline our ear, to crave and to love instruction, and then apply it. Father, I pray that you'd bring that kind of a desire to our hearts. Lord, keep us from just playing church and playing Christianity, but Father, that it would be very, very real in our life, and it would affect every area and every aspect and permeate every part of the lives of your people. Lord, that we'd have a passion inside to draw close to you, a passion inside to be true to the Word of God and the plumb line of God's Word, to measure every part of our life against the truth of your Word, that we might be straight and true in any part of life that is lacking and not measuring up, Father, that we would make diligent effort to realign, Lord, that you might be pleased, Lord, that we might put ourselves in a place to be used of God, to be blessed of God, to see the hand of God at work in the lives of your people, in the life of this church. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you for its instruction, its promises. Lord, I pray that we'd apply it diligently. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good to be with you tonight.